Welcome everyone back to the Brocast. It's Transfer Portal Day. I'm David Woods, Bruin Report Online, the UCLA site on the 24/7 Sports Network, and I am joined, as always, by Tracy Pearson here on that most hallowed of days, Transfer Portal Opening Day. How are you,
Tracy? This is it, Dave. Remember back in the day, signing day? This is bigger now.
So much
this
bigger.
Is like immediate boom, right? These guys can come in next year and play and impact the program. I mean, signing day was all about 2-3 years down the line, right?
Yeah.
This is
yeah.
it.
No, this is all immediate returns. You know what? We're in an instant gratification culture, and this is instant gratification, baby.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's the Bob Chesney era. As everyone knows, when a new coach comes in, that first roster is going to be built heavily through the transfer portal. That's just the way of things these days. So this isn't necessarily an indication that this is how it's always going to be, where they're bringing in, you know, probably 30, 40 new transfers every season. It might even out at some point, but this season, this year, 100% going to be a lot of transfers. So,
yeah. I mean, like 30 plus. I mean, easy. They brought in 30 last year, so I'd say 30 plus.
Yeah, and I mean, as you guys all saw yesterday, so we're recording this Friday, January 2nd. There were a lot of announcements kind of trickling in throughout December of guys from UCLA leaving in the portal. Yesterday, there were a lot more where, you know, suddenly Kwazi Gilmer, Isaiah Chisholm, Mateen Begani, all those guys, all starters announcing their intention to enter the portal. And the expectation is that they will enter it as early as today. So there's still change in the roster coming. I wouldn't anticipate those even being the last announcements of guys leaving UCLA to head into the portal. This roster is going to look quite a bit different in year one for Chesney. There's going to be a lot of new faces, and you know, this 2-week period is the most critical point for all of this. You know, how the roster looks come, I'll call it January 30th, is pretty much what UCLA is going to be working with this season.
Yeah, pretty interesting too. I mean, there are some tea leaves here. Chesney's on. He's been on campus this week, and now the guys are going into the portal. I mean, we can't say blanket statement that all of these guys are having the same experience, but you could probably surmise maybe there was a conversation with the staff, and possibly these guys want to go in the portal now because they are thinking they're worth more NIL.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably the way this is going down. It doesn't, I mean, a lot of the guys that are in the portal could come back. There's so much that could happen. You know, you think you're worth a lot. You go out there. You don't find that you get an NIL offer. You decide to come back. All it takes, though, like with any market, all it takes is one other program who really needs you, and they go way above market, and someone snaps that up. So
suckers born every minute, Tracy.
There you go. So it's very interesting how this, the time, just not what's happening, but the timing of it all. We have heard from a number of sources, Bob Chesney being on campus this week, that obviously he was very impressive in the introductory press conference day. And we've heard from a number of sources that he's been very, very, very impressive this week.
Yes.
Impressing many people that he's met with, that he's, it's so funny. I don't think these people are talking, but they come back. And when I talk to them, you talk to them, they say, he's the real deal.
Adult in charge.
Yes. Yes. So all good, all very encouraging. And another note, let's not start prejudging the guys they've shown that we have reported that are on this tracker. We will admit this is not comprehensive. We don't have every guy that UCLA is going to be interested in over the course of the next 2 weeks on this list. So don't judge it by saying, oh, wow, they're going after 3 stars again like they were before. There's so much that goes into this. It's right now with the transfer portal not even open, a lot of this is feedback where there's so many people out there now that can be sources, agents, families, all of this. This is what we've heard, but this, like I said, there are other people out there, other players that UCLA is going to be really interested in. that we're not listing here. So don't judge the level of transfer just yet. If you want to do it later, have at it. Just maybe hold back on that for a while.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. And then just touching on one thing from what you were talking about with like these guys and the conversations they're having about guys who may be departing. A lot of it is, you know, probably guys asking for a lot of money, but I wouldn't necessarily read that as UCLA doesn't have money to spend. UCLA is in okay shape money wise heading into the transfer portal. What it is, and this goes into Chesney as a, you know, kind of a adult in charge. I don't think UCLA is going to be overvaluing and overpaying considerably. I'm not speaking about any of these players specifically, because I like Kwazi Gilmer a lot. I think he's a good receiver, and I think he's like on a really good UCLA team. I think he's like a solid number two guy. Mateen Begani is a good kicker, but you know, how much do you want to spend on a solid number two receiver on a really good UCLA team? How much do you want to spend on a starting kicker? Those are the kinds of decisions I think that are being made right now at UCLA. And I think those are more professional decisions that were made in the past regarding UCLA's rev share and whatnot money that they have to spend. I don't think you should be coming away from these concerned. I think you should be coming away from more comforted that there's a professional process going on, just as a general thing.
Yeah, that's a huge point. We did hear about some players that were given, let's say, outsized NIL last year that we didn't think were, even when this isn't retroactively where we were thinking this, when it was offered, it was head scratching. This isn't foolproof. They're not gonna nail everyone. Maybe one guy might be worth more, end up, you know, worth more than what they originally offered in NIL. But this is science and art together, trying to value what each one of these guys is worth. And it's just not their singular value. It's also like, let's say, and I'm just speculating, let's say the staff feels they've got a line to some very high end receivers. You wouldn't necessarily then go spend a lot on a guy that you think you could get the equivalent for, who that's more affordable. So there's so many things that go into this. So again, hard to judge really quickly. And I know all the bros are suffering from BBS and they want to see, you know, elite five-star two offensive tackles signed in a week, but it's just patience and understand there are a lot of factors going into this.
Yeah, patience. Famously a very notable quality of Bruin Report Online users and subscribers.
And all subscribers to team sites, Dave. Yes. I mean,
yeah. Patience. They're a patient bunch. They all are. Some newsy items first. We know of some visits coming down the pike. We expect to have more information on this probably later today with visits that will be happening shortly. One notable one that's also immediate is New Mexico tight end Dorian Thomas. We added him to the tracker today once it became public. But he is beginning his visit today to UCLA. Very, very productive tight end at New Mexico this past season. He transferred in there from Arizona prior to that, but he had 56 catches for 560 yards this year for that good New Mexico team that came into the Rose Bowl and beat UCLA. Just to remind everyone, he contributed to ending the Deshaun Foster era, so you should already be a fan. Dorian Thomas, and so this is a big need, tight end. It's not, you know, no tight end for me is ever going to be like a top five positional need, but this is a positional need. UCLA lost Hudson Habermill, lost Jack Peterson, needs tight ends. Dorian Thomas would come in and obviously be an immediate starter. So that's a big visit. There are a few more that we know of at this point, or a few more that we suspect will be happening soon. One that we know is Maxwell Van Fleet, who's the Cornell defensive lineman. And then two others are Idaho safety, Matt Irwin. We expect that visit to happen at some point. And then Oregon State wide receiver Trent Walker. All four of those we've heard could be visiting here in the first week or so of the portal window. Van Fleet's is, I believe, on January 2nd. But we'll hear some more probably about this weekend's visitors later today and have that information up on Bruin Report Online. But already some very exciting movement, and this speaks to, just the reality of the situation, which is the portal officially opens today. Portal's been open, baby. Portal season has been happening for a long time already.
I mean, we've been talking about that. The portal opens today. That's why all of our headlines have been saying this player intends to enter the portal. Happens today on the 2nd. But, you know, this has been going on for weeks of these players.
5 weeks. Five, 6 weeks. Easy.
Yeah. Talking about with their families, talking about with their agents or any kind of other intermediary can reach out to coaching staffs or intermediaries and start discussing interest, NIL level, all of that. And that's all fairly legal, legal, Dave. And so that's been happening. So come on, man, how many names do we have on that list already? And it hasn't even opened. Like in the last 2 years, transfer portal window opens and we've had a story up, and maybe that day, two or three guys. What do we got? Like 15, 20 guys already on that list?
Yeah. And like, I'll be honest, like in years past, when we're putting up like initial lists, a lot of it is like, oh, well, this guy makes sense. Guys, this is all stuff where we've heard stuff. Like there's interest or there's, you know, something going on.
We're not speculating.
Not speculating. So like it's, I don't know. This whole process starts earlier. And also this window, I think being compressed makes it even more important that things start earlier. There's a lot that's going to be happening here very quickly. Obviously stay tuned. And hey, before we get too far, if you want all this information as it comes out for the next 3 days, you can get 50% off your annual subscription to Bruin Report Online. That's right. Half price. What is that? $60 for a year, Tracy?
Something like that, Dave.
It's insane. Something it's absolutely, it's bonkers. Bonkers.
And if what you hear us say on this podcast, this is tip of the iceberg of what you'll get from our stories. From so much on that message board, like almost too much.
Almost
we monetize that, Dave, and put it in stories. But I guess
it's absurd. It's absurd. Business people tell us why we release so much. And we just say, no, we have to give it to them. It's a waterfall. The flow of information.
Exactly. Get in there. You know, Dave, what we should also maybe just to reset a little is the list of needs. I mean, basically it's
everybody.
Just about every.
It's that Gary Oldman scene from The Professional where they ask him how many more guys you want to bring to take this guy down, right? And he turns around like full coked out eyes and he just screams everyone at the top of his lungs.
That's what we should have wrote when I said UCLA's needs.
Yes.
But we know, let's just say, you know, we know who we're coming back. You've got Nico Iamaliava, the quarterback, which is kind of important. You have as what we would have to project is his starting left guard in Eugene Brooks.
Best offensive lineman from this season, more than likely.
From this season. I am always of the opinion, and I think you agree with this. A team, the difference in whether a team is good or not is really the biggest factor is offensive line.
Yeah.
If they can secure a couple of Big Ten starting level offensive linemen, specifically a left tackle, a right tackle, and another guard, everything, of course. After last year, we'd love to see two great edge rushers, right? But man, that offensive line, that is the key to everything, to all of this working, to establishing a run game. With a run game and pass protection, you're able to throw the ball, keeping the offense on the field, you keep your defense off the field. It's the key. So that's the biggest priority easily is offensive linemen. Some of our bros have been frustrated that they haven't seen an elite guys listed, and again, patience. There are a lot. If you look at our that projected depth chart for 2026, UCLA should not only bring in two or three, well, not two, let's say three starters. They should bring in some depth too at offensive line. There could be a lot of offensive line linemen coming in this transfer portal.
Minimum of five guys, in my opinion.
And I'd say two. You know, we have to talk about this, and focusing on offensive line emphasizes it. Don't forget, this staff has in their mind there are James Madison guys that are coming.
Yeah.
They have to have that sense. And there are some guys, Dave, you've watched James Madison quite a bit. Talk about the offensive linemen. I mean, you know, there are guys, I think every guy's in the portal on their offensive line that has eligibility. Talk a little bit about how the guys, because you've watched a lot of them, the guys you like, how they plug in.
Yeah. All right, so they've got, four guys on the offensive line that I think UCLA should at least take a look at. Probably my favorite is Trent Wilson, who's the guy with 3 years of eligibility remaining. He ended up playing a ton this year as a, I believe, true freshman. And he played nearly 400 snaps at both guard spots. He's got a lot of upside. And so that's kind of a key priority for me. I think he could come in and start, but at worst, he comes in and is your, you know, first guy off the bench and critical piece of the next 3 years for UCLA. The guys who are more like solid starters that started for James Madison this year, but maybe don't have the same amount of upside. Riley Robel, who we both kind of like, he's a guard, not big. He's about 6'3", 290. So he's not like ideal P4 size, but he's solid. And I think you could bring him in and, you know, as a stopgap type or again, as like a sixth guy, he'd be pretty solid. Joseph Simmons, I think we are both kind of like not a left tackle. He's at left tackle for JMU, probably more of a right tackle. Again, I think he could fit. I think it depends on who you surround him with, but I think he could be solid for UCLA at tackle and tackle plays. He did
fine in the Oregon game.
He did totally fine.
He's one of those, he's not necessarily quick, but he is large. It is the kind of guy, it takes a lot just to get around him.
Yeah. And so I would say, like, for him, I think you could fit him in. I don't think he'll be your best guy, but I think he'd be fine. And frankly, given UCLA's tackle play the last couple of years, he'd be an upgrade. But, I mean, that's not what you're looking for necessarily. You're not looking for just an upgrade. You want somebody who's actually, like, really good. I don't know if he's, you know, a top, a all Big Ten type player, but he could be a solid starter. And then the other one, the last one, is Carter Swayze. He is an all-conference JMU lineman. He played a lot of guard, started 23 games at JMU, was all Sun Belt this year. He's a little bit shorter than your average guard. He's 6'1", 327. I don't think that's a huge deal, except as it pertains to arm length. I think that's important in any offensive line position. But I don't know. 6'1", 327, that actually reads to me like you could play some center. Would be interested to see if he can snap a football. But I guess my point is all four of those guys are fine takes for me. I think at worst you're getting, you know, depth. And at best, you're getting as many as, I don't know, three starters from that group. So I think all four would make sense as takes. I don't know if they will take all four. But that position group is one where I would expect a decent amount of the additions that we're talking about to come from that JMU group.
I could see this. I watched JMU a few times and really concentrated on the offensive line. I think Joseph Simmons could start at right tackle for UCLA. So that makes sense to me. I was impressed with what I saw at Trent Wilson.
Yeah, no, he's got a lot of upside.
And that was his true freshman year.
Yeah, he's a dude.
So I think he could probably come in and compete to start at a guard spot.
And then you've got Eugene Brooks and him lined up forever as your starting guards because they'd both be sophomores.
And Riley Robel is not a big guy. He's listed at 6'3", 291.
Maybe a center? See if he can snap a football?
Maybe I watch him. He is undersized. And even in the games that I saw that were against Sunbelt, he was undersized in some of those games, and he bordered on dominant sometimes.
Yeah.
Doesn't have a lot of strength, but man, the motor plays hard, knows what he's doing, has some quickness. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing him possibly, you know, like you said, plugging in at center if he can snap a ball. You know, UCLA has its returning center, but there were snap issues.
That's putting it mildly.
Yeah, I was trying to be nice. So I think there's the makings of a good offensive line there. The thing that they're missing is a super elite left tackle.
That's, I think, the main point is, like, I see a lot of guard and maybe right tackle in this group. I don't see,
and even center.
Yeah, I don't see an elite left tackle, and that's the big missing piece. So I think for UCLA's purposes, going out and trying to compete for one of the eventual big names that's going to be in here, and whoever that ends up being, I don't have a name for you at this point, but like, that I think is critical. And there are other pieces. I don't want to say they're just going to build through JMU. We added Paki Finau, who, you know, UCLA was a finalist for out of high school. He ended up at Washington. He's a guard. And he played quite a bit at Washington. There's no guarantee they're just going to take all these JMU guys and call it a day. They're probably going to kick tires on a lot of other dudes. We're just saying, from a continuity perspective, it makes a lot of sense. And frankly, based on what we saw, these guys can play.
Yeah.
There's
also Derek Osmond. Have to mention him.
Yes, obviously.
Harvard offensive lineman. He was an interior guy. I watched him. He looks like, I mean, he was all Ivy League. I think he would maybe not a clear cut starter to me, but you got to like a smart Harvard all Ivy League kind of kid who comes in, interior guy, for competing to start and for good depth. But you know, if they want Simmons, if the staff is looking at Simmons as a starting left tackle, I'm not off that. I mean, I, if I'm talking, you know, if we're talking about what we would ideally like to see, it would be UCLA goes out and spends a lot of NIL money to get an elite left tackle.
Yeah. Let me be clear to everyone. If UCLA went and took the entire starting JMU offensive line from this year, the starting line for UCLA would be better than it was last year. Like, just so you guys all understand what we're talking about here, all of these guys would be probably upgrades over what UCLA was rocking with this year. It's just a matter of when you're trying to assess what's the upside of a potential roster. In an ideal world, yeah, we would like them to go pick up, you know, some guy who was, you know, all conference in the P4 this year. That might not be realistic. And frankly, again, they can build a competent offensive line just on the guys we're talking about right now. Because they were not good this year.
So the other spot that is really critical is just an edge rusher, at least one. I mean, we saw the impact of not having one this year. It was like watching the basketball team last year, Dave, trying to defend a pick and roll.
I don't remind me of that, Tracy.
And actually, it's amazing that the defense was pretty decent without any real pressure on the quarterback, generally to speak of. I mean, it had to be, you might have a stat, one of the worst teams in all of FBS. Well,
I can give you the stat that tickled you yesterday, which is Anthony Jones tied for the lead for UCLA this year in sacks, Tracy.
I texted
with 1.5.
I texted Dave and Brandon yesterday, and I said, "This is the saddest thing Dave has ever written." tied for the lead in sacks, and that's no diss of Anthony Jones at all. I mean, I thought he was a solid player, but 1.5, that was the damn.
Yeah, gnarly.
Yeah, so.
Edge rusher is a huge key, and that's one where we've heard a little bit so far. But we have, like, this is one where I think a lot of people are counting on Sahir West from JMU when we're, you know, assessing needs, and that would be one that makes sense. But what we've heard is that Sahir West is going to be fielding some offers. So it's a matter of, again, assigning a value to him. Does it make sense? Is he, you know, as a Sun Belt freshman, does he make sense, you know, given him you know, David Bailey last year, when he went on the market from Stanford, he got something like $2 million. I don't think Sahir West is going to command that, but he's going to command quite a bit of money. Doesn't make sense. And we will see. But another guy we heard that entered yesterday that UCLA is going to try with is Trey White, the San Diego State edge rusher. From everything we've heard, Nebraska is probably the front runner there because they hired his DC. But UCLA will try. And he's was insanely productive for the Aztecs. He had 19 and a half sacks the last 2 years. So that would be one where it's there. These are the guys who are obvious. You add Sahir West to last year's team. Last year's team's better on defense. You add Trey White. Trey White would have, you know, had 10 sacks, and it changes the complexion of that defense entirely. You add just one guy like that. And so I think this is one where UCLA, if it is forced to overspend on a position, this is the one. I don't even think it's necessarily offensive line, because as we just went through, you can put together a pretty good offensive line. And I'm not saying you underpay, but you can put a pretty good offensive line on just kind of competitive stuff. Edge rusher, I think you really do need to go get a top tier guy. Like, I think that has to happen. And so whether it's Sahir West, whether it's Trey White, whether it's, you know, a player to be named later, I think it's absolutely critical.
And just to put this in context, an elite left offensive tackle, that could be $2 million in yep. NIL. An elite edge rusher, 1.5 probably, right around there. I mean, this is just so you guys get the sense of how much this could all cost. Then Dave, I mean, you know, you can talk. So I personally think, I know wide receivers are important. I think wide receivers are like some of the easiest to find.
Yes.
First off, in general in recruiting, and then generally when it comes to the transfer portal, there always seems to be receivers that you can get that are priced pretty reasonably NIL wise. So funny that we're saying this, that they're priced pretty reasonably.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, but it's totally
when we
true.
Go shopping.
It's totally true.
If only I had a coupon, you know,
and this is why it's so important.
Or a gift card. That'd be great.
But this is why it's so important not to overspend on that position, because I do think it's not that they're a dime a dozen, and it's not that like an elite receiver doesn't change your team. It's that you don't want to overpay for non-elite. And there's a lot of pretty good out there. And if you're not going to have, I don't know, Mekhi Lemon on your team or whoever, whatever you want to say, if you're not going to have that guy, constructing an army of pretty good out of like guys who are insanely productive at the G5 level or something, that's fine. Like, that's totally fine. And you don't want to overspend on a guy who is not elite and spend as if he's a number one. Just go get a bunch of number two receivers and you'll have a really good receiving core.
And right now the JMU receivers that are in the transfer portal, I'd be pretty happy with them.
I kind of like, well, there are two position groups for JMU where I really liked a lot of guys. Offensive line, I liked pretty much all of them. Wide receiver, the takeaway from that Oregon game for me was, if they had a different quarterback, that should have been a receiver-oriented offense, because it wasn't just Landon Ellis, who I really like, and I've made no secret about it, but Braden Wislowski, he was really good. Quick, fast, playmaker. Doing a lot out there. Landon Ellis, and I brought him up before, but just to say it again, a big, strong-bodied receiving target. Good, big, strong hands, kind of everything you want, and it's kind of that possession-type receiver. And then not technically a receiver, but Lakota Dupree, the tight end. I think there's a lot of good receiving targets from that JMU team that UCLA could go and get. And then, you know, based on our initial look at the transfer portal, they're looking at a lot, and this goes to what we've heard about Chesney's philosophy. They're going and looking at a lot of guys who have produced already, who have already churned out some pretty insane production at the G5 level. So that's Jackson Harris at Hawaii. He was a Stanford transfer who went into Hawaii. Had a really, really good year this year. He's somebody that we know they're looking at. Danny Scudero, San Jose State slot. He transferred into San Jose State from Sac State, And then at San Jose State had 88 catches for 1291 and 10 touchdowns as a 5'9", 174-pound receiver.
I watched some film on him. He just absolutely gets it done. It's crazy.
Yes. Yeah. So he's pretty impressive. And if you could land both of those guys, that's more production than UCLA has had at receiver in a long time. But then there's also Braden Pegan. If you guys remember him, he was at UCLA for 3 years, went to Utah State, and was very productive there. So he'd be coming home as more of a 1,000-yard receiver type than somebody who hadn't really produced. And then, as we talked about above, Trent Walker, the guy who's likely visiting very soon, he, you know, you've kind of lost track of Oregon State since they're no longer in the Pac-12, or UCLA is no longer in the Pac-12. Trent Walker the last 2 years has been really, really productive, almost 1,800 total yards receiving. A clear theme with all these guys. Produced. They have produced significant yardage, and it goes to that theory of there's a lot of guys who have produced at lower levels that you could probably bring up, and they're going to produce again because they're used to it. They know how to run their routes. They know how to catch the ball. They know how to, you know, set up a defensive back. The levels are different, obviously, G5 to P4, but they're not so much different that 1,300 yards or 1,000 yards isn't going to translate. So you got to like the theory of the case there.
Yeah. God, while you were talking, there were so many things that I made notes that I want to talk about. So that's, we talk about receivers. There are key positions too that we've always lectured about is defensive tackle. I don't know if we've emphasized it enough or made point of it. The fact that Siali Tapaki is coming back for his 27th year. I mean, not only is it a thing in itself, is this year eight?
Oh yeah.
Year eight.
Oh yeah.
Number one, that's phenomenal. Number two, he was a solid defensive tackle this year. Mm-hmm. He should be, I mean, he's going to be an old man with a lot of experience. He should be really solid and pretty good.
Oh yeah.
You know, obviously all the other guys who were listed in our depth chart, no idea about their status for next year. AJ, Fui, Mao, Ono. We haven't heard anything. And the fact that we haven't heard doesn't mean anything, but we haven't heard whether he's staying or going. He showed flashes of being at least solid deserving of being in, you know, a Big Ten rotation at tackle. Love to see them get another guy here. But man, they're not starting from absolute scratch with at least those two guys coming back. Yeah. So one more guy there would be fantastic. Linebacker is interesting, Dave. Isaiah Chisholm announced for the portal. That obviously you have to keep qualifying this. That doesn't mean he's not coming back. I think it means he's testing the waters of NIL to see how much he could get. And you know, God bless him. Good on him, as I think all these guys should. But there are linebacker is another group. Kind of like receiver we've seen in the transfer portal, you can snatch one up pretty easy.
Yep.
And then kind of what makes me feel kind of good is, so we have the Cal linebackers coach, coming to UCLA, and I can't remember the timing. We reported that, and then it was within hours, you'd say, that Luke Farrelly, the linebacker Cal, announced that he was going in the portal.
Yep.
He was very good, Dave. He actually was a guy I just randomly noticed watching Cal play.
Yes.
He was ACC Freshman Defensive Player of the Year.
Uh-huh.
That's pretty good. That's
not
pretty
bad. Good. Not
I kinda,
bad.
I kind of like
91
him. I
mean, tackles as a redshirt freshman.
91 as a retro freshman. And we're not saying this is happening, but there, if you're a tea leaf kind of person, and by the way, all our tea leaf readers on the forum are doing a heck of a job.
They've read
love
all
you leaves. Guys. man, you guys are stellar. But those are some good tea leaves to read right there.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a guy. So at linebacker that you can easily project coming in and immediately starting. Yeah. You know, there's guys that are just like that. And I think at linebacker, with Chisholm in the fold, I didn't have it projected as like a five alarm fire type need. But it's somewhere where I think we both feel just upgrading the talent generally, even if you were returning Chisholm, was going to be a priority. Ferrelli is a guy who does both. He replaces Chisholm if Chisholm is indeed finalized to leave. Ferrelli would replace him, but also upgrade the talent. Like that would be a at linebacker a better starter than UCLA had this year. So that would be huge. And linebacker, you know, if you know about the like kind of NIL market, it is one of those position groups where for whatever reason, it's not valued super highly. Like you can go get good players for under $500,000, good starters. Like, and that's rare in the portal world. Getting like really, really high quality guys for that amount of money is critical. And I think, you know, UCLA could do that. So Ferrelli is obviously one of the major options there. We'll see how serious that one gets, but certainly the timing is interesting.
So then the secondary, a big news, I think it's big news. I mean, given the context of it, Cole Martin decides to stay.
Yep.
His dad, someone we're very familiar with, go back. I mean, God, I can't remember the first time I ever met Meat. We're probably going on 20 years. That's Demetrius Martin, who was secondary's coach at UCLA this year. Is not returning to the staff. Cole Martin, his son, put his name in, or once again, said he intended to put his name in the transfer portal, and then announced this week that he was returning. You know, that's an indication where I think he feels UCLA is home, but I think he got a pretty strong indication from the incoming staff that they like him. He was valued. Probably the NIL money was right. So that's good. And Dave, we've also heard some things. I mean, just generally, and it might pertain to the secondary.
Yeah.
That you go, Dave. You say it.
Roderick Pleasant, the cornerback who was injured at the end of the year. We've heard that it's looking good for him to return. And we've heard that two guys who indicated their intentions to enter the portal, Andre Jordan and Scooter Jackson, those look like they could be returning players as well. And
we're not saying for certain, but when someone enters a portal, there's a chance.
This isn't us alluding to anything either. This isn't us insinuating. This is just present situation is it looks good, not necessarily done. And that's not euphemisms or anything. That's just literally the situation as it stands. The secondary, if you were paying attention this year, was easily the best part of the defense and frankly just kind of good in its own right. Like it was pretty quality secondary turned out to be. And those four guys, Cole Martin, Scooter Jackson, Roderick Pleasant, and Andre Jordan were a huge and major and significant part of that. Maybe the four most important guys in that secondary. If they return those, along with Eugene Brooks and Nico Iamaliava, those are probably like as a group, my six most important guys for UCLA to have retained. I made this point on the message board yesterday, but in specific, no other player on the roster was like a must have. I think in general, you want to retain, I don't know, 50% of your potential returners just for like having the grist in the mill, essentially. But nobody else was like a critical returning starter for me. Those six guys, I think if you got them all back, I think you can basically piece together the rest of your, you know, kind of starting lineups from whatever, transfer portal or, you know, like a guy who's returning great, but otherwise, no one else was super critical to me. Those six guys though were huge.
Yeah. If you return Roderick Pleasant, you return Andre Jordan, you're looking pretty solid at cornerback. At safety, still a little thin. You've got Cole Martin, He played some nickel. He was mostly like a, I mean, you would say a box safety towards the end of the season. Where he's really good playing with the ball in front of him. Scooter Jackson might be key to return there among the safeties too. But that's a pretty, you know, if they get at least most of those guys back and then maybe upgrade a little talent from the portal. And we've heard about some guys that, you know, like Ty Benefield from Boise State.
Yes.
I think he's a plug and start kind of guy. Who else, Dave? Why is there one more? I think there's another safety.
Matt Irwin, the Idaho transfer. We know that they're going to be looking at him. There's Tyler Brown from JMU as another one that they could take a look at. It's basically my kind of thing here is if they do return all four of those guys, there's basically, you know, you can argue there's one starting safety role left if one of Scooter Jackson or Cole Martin plays nickel instead. And so, you know, you could, you know, talk yourself into adding one starting safety, but then beyond that, it's kind of depth. So I think, you know, you evaluate all these guys. Ty Benefield's an obvious plug and play. Is Tyler Brown? I don't know. And is Matt Irwin? I don't know. I need to watch him more. Idaho is not something that was deep on my radar this year.
He is visiting though. So the staff must consider him a guy.
Everything I've read and seen is that he's a really, really, really good athlete. And he was productive at Idaho. So that one could make some sense, but there are options. I think when we were hearing a lot of this stuff, this was before Cole Martin announced his return. And so we'll see how much safety ends up being a priority. We knew it was a priority as early as, you know, Monday this week, but it might end up changing a little bit because Cole Martin returned. But yeah, they've probably got one starting safety spot that they need to get. And if they can get Ty Benefield, that would be huge.
You know, we skipped over it, but I was kind of leaving it toward the end. Running back. You know, Wayne Knight, the JMU running back, is in the transfer portal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like him. I think he'd be effective. I think he'd be good. I would not be necessarily adverse, though, if they didn't bring him over and they kept a guy like, you know, Jet Thomas or Anthony Woods. I thought those guys showed a lot this year running behind a not good offensive line.
I agree. And I would say, even beyond those two, Carson Cox, you know, they've got pieces on this roster where I don't think you need to add someone just to add. Wayne Knight, good player. One thing I will say is I'm not sure how he translates. I think he does translate. I'm not sure at what level he translates to the P4. Not a big guy. Pretty fast, pretty explosive. I don't know if he's P4 explosive. So I would just, that's one where, like, if you bring him in as a depth guy, maybe I get it, but also is he going to want to come as a depth guy? And then if you're bringing him in as a starter, I don't know. I think Javian Thomas or Anthony Woods behind a good offensive line, not to mention Carson Cox behind a good offensive line, might be better options. So, yeah, I'm with you on this one. I don't think he's a necessary take. I think, you know, obviously the staff is going to do what they want to do. And, you know, if they're
familiar with him, they feel really good about him. I mean, they have the whole history with him. Fine.
Yeah. And we have heard
there might be some good news coming on with running backs.
That's right. Yeah. We have heard that. Yeah. So, and that's in retention world.
In the world of retention.
Yeah. So, I mean, and then this is the other thing, just kind of a general point. And maybe it kind of goes to running back, though I don't think it's as necessary there. But generally speaking on this roster, and this kind of dovetails with what I was saying about there only being really six guys that I thought, you know, UCLA absolutely needs to retain. UCLA can go ahead and upgrade everywhere. We've listed needs, and it's pretty much everyone, but like if they want to go and, you know, go get three tight ends, great. You know, probably need upgrades. If they want to go get better backup quarterbacks, great. That's fine. I think there's room to upgrade this entire roster. And I do think there's like a reality of a new coaching staff with existing players. Those existing players are going to look different with a new coaching staff and probably a lot better. But also, this, when we walked out of spring 2025, and this is without knowing how Deshaun Foster was going to be coaching that team, and this is knowing very little about the scheme, and it was only based on three practices, but we were walking away saying, this is one of the least talented UCLA teams we can remember seeing. There's absolute need to upgrade kind of across the board. And so whatever they end up taking, whoever they end up taking, it's going to be justified. Like if they want to take three safeties because they didn't like, you know, X, Y, or Z, that's fine. We're just saying based on our read of this roster and our own evaluations of this roster, what the needs are. But I mean, they could end up taking like five wide receivers because they just don't like any of the returning guys. It's
yeah. And then touching on quarterback, it is, I think we spoke, but Luke Duncan has gone into the portal, and that is a move that, I mean, if you're a UCLA fan, you're all, why we need him. Luke Duncan, with the announcement that Nico is returning, absolutely.
He had to go.
Needs to go. He's a starter. He's a P4 starter somewhere. I mean, he needs to go. We also heard that Henry Hasselbeck will enter the portal. We liked Henry as maybe a receiver.
Yeah, no, or a safety. Like a just safety. Playing something as an athlete. Because
he had some hands.
He's really fast.
Yeah, like, he's big and fast. Yeah. Like really explosive, scary. Like you watch him, you go, dude, he's really moving down that field. But, and then you know, the reaction is, oh my God, where's the quarterback room? So you got Nico for another year. You'd have to think Madden, his little brother, who will be a redshirt freshman. That of course, everything has to work out with NIL and that the scheme is great. He gets along with all the coaches, but you'd have to think that's in place for him to be the quarterback of the future. If everything works out with Nico this year, with the family, right?
Yeah.
You got a freshman coming in who obviously JMU coaches like, and DJ Bordeaux. I watched him. I like him. The film I saw. And then there's an unusual situation with Pierce Clarkson. He was charged. He was suspended from the team after he was charged for assault. I don't have a definitive recent info on what's happening. I have heard that the charges could be dropped soon. It would be hard, Dave, to find a backup quarterback in the transfer portal that wants to sit behind Nico for a year with Madden. Madden is a really good prospect. A really good prospect, a P4 starter. So it'd be hard to find someone who wants to come in who is a quality, like potential, you know, QB2 and want to sit and want to try this given those guys. So Pierce Clarkson, I mean, if he returns, could be a good fit because this is where he is. He probably can't go anyplace else. So I kind of like the way this quarterback room is for next year.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, I think...
And there's Colton Camino.
Correct. Still on the roster. Yeah. Still on the team. I mean, I think I look at this team, Tracy, and once you return Nico and, you know, you've got that kind of anchoring piece, I mean, we're talking about a lot of pieces, but, like, I don't know. What's your minimum level that they would need to add to make you think with that schedule... I mean, you got to construct an offensive line. We basically said that. You got to get an edge rusher. But, like, I guess my point is when you're going through the needs, right, what's the cutoff point at which, hey, it's a pretty good team?
I'm saying this. You bring in a couple of those JMU offensive linemen. You get one elite transfer tackle along with the JMU guys. You get one elite Sahir West or another elite edge rusher. Maybe another edge rusher, and then maybe a defensive tackle. And like I said, the linebackers, the wide receivers, all good. You can find them. You get those guys right there. I'm feeling pretty good, Dave.
Yeah.
Especially with that, especially like you said, with that schedule.
Oh yeah. Yeah. This, it's not that far away.
It's not
from being really a decent roster. Getting Nico back was huge. So, okay. There's going to be a lot more transfer portal talk over the next couple weeks. We'll have Huffman on at some point to talk about a lot of this too.
We're going to have him on today, but he's in such demand right now. He's like coming in, saying hello on text and then going out. So we couldn't get him.
Yeah. But
you know what I did want to see though, say Texas Tech against Oregon.
Yeah, baby.
Would you say that James Madison did better?
Absolutely.
Clearly. I mean, what was that scored? Well, it was 23 to 3. What was that final score?
23-0
Right.
Yeah. Shut them out.
Damn. I mean, that says a lot. Texas Tech, conservatively top five NIL amount of money to pay out. And that's what they could do. And then Bob Chesney with no NIL with G5 roster
shoe polishing Oregon. Grit.
Yeah. Wow. That, I mean, I was watching that game going just in that context, that, that was really fun to watch. But I mean, just a comment too. I actually watched a lot of those playoff games.
Me too.
I don't, I, when it's Ohio State, Michigan, Georgia, Alabama, I have to admit, not that much interest, but it is fun watching those guys lose to teams like Indiana. Ole Miss winning is really kind of fun, right?
Oh yeah.
Except I think Lane Kiffin still gets $1 million if they make the championship game or if they win the champ. I don't know, which is completely just not right with the world. But kind of you know, all these teams. I got it. I got a soft spot for Indiana. Come on.
Yeah.
Okay. One of the worst programs in all of FBS for decades. And this is what they're doing with Fernando Mendoza, who's one of my favorite guys, gets it, wins the Heisman Trophy and cries. His mom's ill. I mean, my God, I can't even talk about it. I mean, I am a big Indiana, and I know that head coach is, you have the biggest man crush.
Oh yeah. Cignetti's killer.
He smiled.
He did smile. But no, I mean, insanely disciplined. I mean, that's the big thing about Indiana. They remind me so much of like 2010 Stanford. They will grind you to dust on offense, and they are insanely disciplined on defense. But yeah, my big takeaway from those playoff games is Big Ten ascendant. Deshaun Foster's UCLA team probably would have gone 7-5 in the SEC. Trash conference. All right. So we did want to talk about some basketball as well. UCLA has had a brief hiatus, or UCLA men's basketball has had a brief hiatus, but they begin Big Ten play in earnest starting tomorrow, traveling to Iowa, and then on Tuesday traveling to Wisconsin, first Big Ten road trip. Iowa's ranked, Tracy?
They are.
25th?
23-25, I think, something like that. I mean, I've watched, you know, I make it a point to watch a lot of Big Ten, and I just happen to have watched, I'd say, three Iowa games. So kind of familiar with them. They're an interesting team. Bennett Sturts is a scorer. That dude can put the ball in the basket. He's one of those guys that every time he goes up to shoot, you think it's going in, and he can take, he's just not a catch and shooter. He can take a couple of dribbles. He actually finishes better than you might think too. He's shooting over 40% from three. He's a guy that might be challenging to stop because I don't know who defends him, on UCLA's team. I mean, he's 6'4", 6'5". I don't know who defends him, Dave. So that's going to be challenging, but they're an interesting team because the way they match up, they don't have a lot of bigs. They have a good rebounding rate. They play slow. So they match up in a lot of ways with UCLA. Only UCLA's second true road game of the season. I don't know. That article I wrote this I went in to write that article, Dave. And then when I started doing the research, I said, wow, this is bleaker than I thought when I was going in. So every single prognosticator here has UCLA losing this game. I think we're going to see Xavier Booker and Stephen Jamerson play 10 minutes combined, 12, 13. I think we're going to see the small lineup. There is a possibility and a chance for Tyler Bilodeau to really go off if he's got a five defending him. The bigger guys, and actually the difference with Iowa this year from last year, seriously, is they're playing decent defense. Last year, if you saw, all they did was run up and down and score. They got a new coach, so they played better defense. But I could see UCLA having to ride, you know, Tyler Bilodeau and its offense. A lot of little things. Will Eric Daly show up? What version of Donovan Dent will we get? So a lot of questions. Then they move on to Wisconsin, which is also not a great matchup for UCLA. So yeah, Dave, it's going to be very, very, very interesting. This little mini road trip.
A split feels like it necessary to kind of, I don't know, sustain anything from, I guess, a momentum perspective. I mean, they do. It's been a long time. They've won three straight games. They beat ASU, and then they beat Cal Poly and UC Riverside. I mean, they looked okay. UC Riverside, they looked better. But this, I feel like they need to get a win in one of these two just for resume perspective, because now it becomes very much getting your splits on the road if you can, and then winning your home games is probably the way to build the best realistic tournament resume for UCLA at this point. And you know, I think both of these would be quad ones. Wisconsin isn't ranked, but I believe they are a top 75 team in the net. So
yeah, they're like 46. That thing moves a lot, but I think they're like
it moves a lot. But those two teams are both quad one opportunities. So getting at least one win here, I think, would be huge
because they're the opportunities to get some quad wins. You know,
you got to get them.
You got to get them. And some of the quad. I mean, do we really think? I hate to be so bleak, but I mean, Michigan, Michigan State, travel to the state of Michigan. What else do we? It's too bad. It's almost too bad Oregon is not very good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that would be an opportunity. But, and then Maryland, Penn State, those aren't. At Ohio State will be. I think Ohio State's like 40 to 50. And that's at Ohio State. So that would be one. Purdue at home, can't see that. I can't. So, I mean, there aren't a lot of opportunities here. At USC, maybe, because USC is ranked. There's just not a lot of opportunities for quad one wins. So that's the way you build your resume, right?
Yep.
So, yeah, a split here would be really key. And I'm sorry, guys, I know. Like in that story, when I wrote something like that, y'all reacted, where have our expectations gone? My expectations are realistic right now. I'm trying to figure a way for this team to get off the bubble and get in the NCAA tournament.
Yep. And then women's basketball, Tracy. They just finished up their first Big Ten road trip at Ohio State and then at Penn State. The Ohio State game, kind of lackluster, but that was coming off of, I think, an 8-day layoff. They won by 7 on the road, so can't really complain.
And they were up by 17, and then
just kind of, you know, holiday lethargy kicked in, and all that food, you know, makes you sleepy. And then Penn State, they crushed them. Ripped off their arms, beat them to death with it. And that was more of what we've come to expect. And then obviously this weekend, huge game, USC. This USC team, obviously quite a bit different from last year. New Juju Watkins, but still very, very good. Or very solid, I should say. Not quite at the elite level last year, but still, I think, potentially dangerous for UCLA. They will need to be focused and play well. But this is going to now kick off. I think they've got USC, and then it's one more Big Ten road trip before hosting Maryland and Purdue at home. So Big Ten play kicking in earnest. Next kind of like really huge game. I mean, USC's big. Next kind of huge game against an opponent that could actually give them some trouble is probably, oh boy. I mean, the thing is, like, Nebraska or Minnesota on the road, I guess technically could, but in reality, Iowa or Michigan probably in February. The Big Ten's solid, but it's not great. It might be a little while before they're playing another really competitive game. So this is actually a good time for them to continue to work on their championship level focus, which has, I think, improved this year.
If I had to focus on one thing, it really is they're a different team when they cut down turnovers. They could win a national championship if they limit their sloppy play and turnovers. When they are not turning over the ball, this is an elite team. For the season, they're not doing it. But like Ohio State, I think they're averaging 11, 12 turnovers a game. Against Ohio State, they had like 8 in the first quarter. it wasn't a good sign. So that's really the key to this team. It's just limiting turnovers.
Yeah, and they've been a lot better at that this year. All right. I think that's it for us.
Surely.
All right, we'll be back with more transfer stuff. Stay tuned on Bro, because we're going to be posting a lot of stuff as the transfer portal progresses. I imagine there's going to be a lot of movement and stuff today, tomorrow, and basically the next 2 weeks are going to be a fire hose. So enjoy it.
Stuff, guys. Fun stuff. And again, if you want more of this, all the details, every last little bit, ad nauseam that you just almost maybe think you want and maybe you don't, but it's all here on Bruin Report Online and all those stories. I mean, you got to look at this transfer tracker, dude. This thing's huge already, and it's the first day of the window. It's going to get crazy here over the next 2 weeks. For all those people out there thinking about it, the window opens from today, the 2nd, to the 16th for 2 weeks, but then you can keep recruiting these guys. That just is when they can get in. Yeah. To the portal.
And for USC fans, this is a different window than the one that Lincoln Riley has open now. As he pointed out, you know, this is a different window. That window is the one he's got open to, I guess, maybe make a playoff in the next 8 to 10 years. But this window, this is the transfer portal window.
Right. Yeah. So if you're thinking about buying a subscription, this is absolutely the time. This is the most, given there hasn't been a lot of on-field or on-court enjoyment, this is the most fun 2 weeks. Right now.
Yeah, it's gonna be a wild time.
It's all about hope.
All about hope, baby. Start feeling it. Everything we're hearing, just like everyone, just know this. Everything we're hearing is, you know, you could probably hear it in our voices. We're a little giddy. And that's not necessarily related to transfers. That's more just related to what we're hearing about the staff and Bob Chesney's professionalism and all this kind of stuff. But like,
we did a story on their recruiting staff already that they built.
Yeah.
Damn. I mean, Brandon Huffman said that's the best staff they've ever had. And I don't know if it's even, if there's another staff that's close, maybe one during the Mora era, but I mean, this is exciting. This is what you all want. You want professionals who can do great evaluations, who aren't going to pay too much in NIL. And of course they're not going to be flawless, but this is what you have here. So, and it's the transfer portal time. So this is it.
Yep, exactly. All right. Well, that's it for us. For Tracy Pearson, I'm David Woods, Bruin Report Online. We will talk to you again next time.
See y'all.